We now return to the 2014 Candidates Forum from the Paramount Theater in downtown Burlington. Brought to you by Select Bank and Trust, Ivar's, America's Mattress of Alamance County, Woody's Body Shop and Wheel Alignment, and True Liant Federal Credit Union. Here is your moderator, Byron Tucker.
Thank you very much, and welcome back to the Paramount Theater in Burlington. This is night one of our two-night coverage of the Candidates Forum. And remember, if you're listening at home and you do have a question, you can email it to us at mtaylor@thetimesnews.com. That's mtaylor@thetimesnews.com. And now let's get back to our moderator, John Brockwell, who has the candidates for the Alamance County County Commissioner's race.
Okay, welcome back, everyone. We're glad to have you with us tonight. Once again, thank you for being here. We appreciate it. We thank our candidates for being here. And again, in case you came in during the last session that we had, these nice, well-done voters' guides that the Times News publishes every time we have an election, it was in yesterday's paper, and Madison has put several copies out in the lobby for you. Please take one home. It's got all the information that you need on all the candidates for everything that's going to be on the ballot here in Alamance County on November the 4th. We are very pleased and honored to have all five candidates for three seats on the Alamance County Board of Commissioners. We wanted to bring all the candidates together. We didn't see any reason to separate, to have two different sessions for the seats, so we brought them all together. We're going to be talking about the same things that are important to Alamance County anyway. So, with that, let's introduce them one at a time. First of all, sitting in the middle is our lone incumbent on the table this evening. He's been a county commissioner for the last 18 years. Bill says that he will never compromise on conservative principles. He is a retired worker from Lorillard Tobacco, and he says he always believes in less government and more freedom. Please welcome Bill Lashley. Our next candidate is a former State House representative. He represented District 64. He's also a former county commissioner. He is the former longtime police chief in Elon and is currently serving on the Board of Trustees for Alamance Community College. Please say hi to Dan Engel. Our next candidate for county commissioner is, as you know, is a retired longtime senior vice president of Alamance Regional Medical Center. He was there from 1978 until his retirement earlier this year. He's the past chairman of the United Way of Alamance County and past president of the Alamance County Arts Council. And, of course, he's the co-founder of the Alamance Jazz Band. Please welcome Bob Byrd. Now, these three candidates that we just introduced are running for two seats that are four-year terms on the Alamance County Board of Commissioners. Our next two gentlemen at the end of the table are running for an unexpired term, which will expire in 2016. This is a vacancy that was left when Tom Manning resigned earlier this year. First of all, we want to present to you the former Alamance County Commissioner. He's the longtime owner of Boswell Realty and Construction, and he switched party affiliations last year from Democrat to Republican. Please welcome Eddie Boswell. And our only newcomer here at the table this evening, he is a retired longtime worker at Elastic Fabrics of America in Greensboro. This is his first time running for political office. Please welcome Harold Bowling. Now, as we did in the previous session, we will allow all of our candidates to say a few words about themselves and their campaigns at the conclusion of this session this evening. All right, we're just, like we mentioned earlier, in case you weren't with us, the only rules that we have for this session is there are none. So we're just going to have a little lively and frank discussion here about issues that are important to Alamance County, and everybody with opportunity to respond to what we're talking about here, particular issues or questions. We do have some questions from the audience here, also from the Times News and from WPCM listeners that we'll try to get to as quickly as we possibly can as well. So let's dive right in and let's start about an issue that we can talk about until we're blue in the face all night, folks, and that is economic incentives for business and industry in Alamance County. We'll try not to be blue in the face about this, but it is important to the county, and so we need to talk about it. Over the past few years, the county commissioners have approved local incentives for these industries: Walmart, CS Carolina Textile, Cambro Manufacturing, Morinaga Candy Manufacturing, Sheets Distribution, Kaiser Roth. Gentlemen, let's start with Bill because he's the incumbent.
Okay.
And is this the, and the simple question that we ask is this the best way to bring manufacturing and industry to North Carolina, to Alamance County? Is it the best way to do it through economic incentives?
I think economic incentives are important. It has worked for the last 18 years since I've been on. We're starting to receive some industry located in Alamance County, and the only way they're going to come is if we give them incentives to make that choice. I'm glad they're here.
Bob, is there an alternative to economic incentives, in your opinion, to bring an industry to Alamance County?
Well, I support economic incentives. I think we need to do those incentives very wisely, making sure that the industries that we're attracting are the industries that we want, industries that are going to provide good jobs and the right kind of jobs, good paying jobs, and that have a good success for being successful in the future. I really think, though, that the best way to bring in good paying jobs, the most important thing that we can do for economic incentives or for economic development, is to support our public education system. I hear time and time again about how industry has changed over the years and the kind of workforce that they require has changed a lot. And it all centers around education, making sure that that our community and our kids are being well versed in the STEM areas, the science, technology, engineering, and math skills. So I really think that public education is key to developing our economy.
Chief Engel, is economic incentives the best policy?
Well, unfortunately, John, everybody's doing it. And because of that, we really have a plan when we go about giving these companies money to come here. And one of the things is we need to guarantee that they do have jobs, that they will be supplying, that there's only 2% of the total investment that these companies receive from the county when they come, that they also, if at all possible, that we could provide roads and water and sewer in lieu of paying these companies, and then also that the pay that the employees receive is equivalent or higher than the average that is received in the county.
Harold, some call economic incentives corporate welfare. Do you agree with that? Do you agree that incentives are the best way to bring in business and industry to Alamance County?
I think we'll have to because of the way things are. I mean, you don't have any choice but to do it. But I would like for the county to make sure, if we do it, make sure that the people of the Alamance County gets their money back in 5 to 8 years. And that's my biggest thing is make sure that they stay here and they support themselves and supports the county.
Eddie, is the return on incentives, is it substantial enough for Alamance County?
Yes, John, I think it is because, number one, when the incentives are set up for the companies that are coming here, they've invested enough into the county to offset the money that we're going to give them. I agree with Dan on the infrastructure. I think the Walmart deal that we did in Hallfields is more of a positive way of doing incentives if we have opportunities to work, because what that infrastructure will do, it will also open up the avenue for new companies wanting to come here, and you already have the infrastructure in place. And that way, when the they they come looking for a location, a lot of them like to move quickly. And if you have that product in hand, then you're ready. I was very fortunate to be involved when Sheets came to county to ask for incentives, and I think they're opening up this next month. They're going to open their distribution center up, and it's going to pay back to the county. I mean, it's giving good jobs. It's give them 8-10 years. The county makes all the taxes on that money, and we're building a tax base that we can live on and work with.
Bob, would there ever be a situation where you would not support incentives?
Well, I think you need to look at it on a case-by-case basis. I can think of a scenario where if it required too much of an investment from the county up front, and no real assurance for that industry to meet its obligations, then I wouldn't be in favor of that kind of a deal. So I'm in favor of using our resources wisely, making sure that it's not all front-loaded, but it's paid out over time, and that we're monitoring the success of that company, that they're meeting their obligations with in terms of the number of jobs that they're creating, the amount of investment that they're making into our community, and so on. I mean, that's what's necessary for me to use these economic incentives.
All right, let's just go down the table. Dan, is there any situation where you would not support economic incentives for a major business industry that wanted to locate here?
Certainly, if it were a mega business, there would be times where we just couldn't afford to. And certainly, it'd be a case-by-case, as Bob said, basis that you'd look at. Usually, though, normally, if it's a company that large is providing that many jobs, you're going to have other partners, for instance, the state, that would be involved in that endeavor. But again, it gets back to the case-by-case basis.
Bill, would there ever be a situation where you would not support it?
Well, if the company's coming here and they're supplying plenty of jobs and a good, sound economy of a business, I think that we need, as a county commissioners, we need to support industry coming here, coming to Alamance County.
Harold, how about you? Would there be ever a situation where you would not support local incentives for a business or industry that wanted to relocate here?
Yes, sir. I would vote against any company that came in that would destroy our land and our water and our...
Eddie, would there be a situation?
Well, of course, I think we have to evaluate each one on a case-by-case situation, and let's look at the salaries they're providing, the number of jobs, and yes, if they don't meet the thresholds that we pretty much set up at the county when I was there, that we just put them out of the loop. We don't give them incentives.
Yeah. All right. We'll move on from this, and of course we'll revisit this again, I'm sure, with questions that you may have. But let's move on to something else, which is a big subject here in Alamance County with I'm sure you gentlemen, if you are elected to serve, and that is school funding. We're going to, of course, talk a lot about that in detail tomorrow night with our candidates for the Board of Education. But I guess the big question here is there enough money being appropriated for our schools? We know that we do have an overcrowding situation. We know that we have a teacher situation that we talked about with our previous candidates about teacher pay increase, teacher assistance, teachers being courted to go to other states. Are we spending enough here in this county for education? Eddie?
Well, there's always needs in our school system for more money. 25.5% of our budget goes to the school. I think what we really need to do as commissioners is to work with the school board. And I had my friend Pam Thompson out here said, we're going to take a bus trip. If elected, we'll go right around and look at the schools. Let's set up a priority list and let's figure what we need to do as commissioners to fund the schools and to get a list together. Let's look at it, and then we'll evaluate and put priorities in place. And yes, there are a number of overcrowded schools in our system, and the school board may have to look at other options too to take care of that.
Harold, are we spending enough on our schools, do you think?
I don't really know. I don't know how the county's financial situation is, but if the county can afford it, and then I would support more money going to the schools, but only if we can afford it.
Bill, how about appropriations for schools? How's that working?
Alamance County spends almost 35% to 40% of its budget to the Alamance County schools. We spend a greater percentage of our, Alamance County spends a greater percentage of our tax money to the schools than some of your larger, they give more money to their schools, but we give a greater percentage than we can. I think I voted to give the most that Alamance County can afford. There's more things in Alamance County that takes funding besides the schools.
Chief Engel?
Actually, it's based on the needs and at the time from budget year to budget year. When you look at the county's responsibility, of course, it's the facilities and the infrastructure. We also pay for several non-teaching positions and the supplement, I think, is at 9%.
9%.
So we do all of those things. However, when you look at what's going on now in this county and the interest, I know Dr. Algie Gatewood with Alamance Community College talked about a study that was done by Georgetown University Department of Education, where 65% of our jobs would be coming from folks that had more than high school but less than a four-year degree. So with that in mind, we need to prepare for that with preparing these students with technologically for the jobs that will be coming into the county. When you think about that, the study said 24 million new jobs will be created just off the streets. And then you've got another 31 million baby boomers like me that are retiring, and somebody's going to take their place. So we need to prepare for that. Also, when you look at that infrastructure, I know that part of the school system's plan that they have, their strategic plan, about 8 pages of that plan addresses the facilities. It's a 5-year facilities plan. Well, we need to get on board as county commissioners, work closely with them, determine what their needs are, and then make the decisions on a year-by-year basis in the budget in terms of their needs.
Bob, are we spending enough on schools?
Well, I would say that we need to spend what we need to spend in order to accomplish our vision. And we're not going to accomplish that all in a year. It's going to be over time. But I'm like with Dan, the school system has a strategic plan, and plans are used to base funding decisions and to prioritize funding, and that's what we need to do. The plan, if it's executed well, will lead to the accomplishment of that vision. So probably we're not funding it enough when you look at the needs with respect to teacher pay supplements in some of our facilities. But it needs to be driven objectively. We need to make sure that the money that we're spending is helping to achieve that vision, that we're getting a return for that investment. But as far as I'm concerned, there's nothing more important than investing in our public education system. It's pretty fundamental and foundational to everything else in our community.
Okay, along those lines, I think we all know that over the past several months, there's been some controversial discussion going on our school board. And, of course, we'll dive into that in detail tomorrow, but want to get your take on this. Is the school board and the county commissioners, I guess it's safe to say, haven't gotten along too well over the past year or so. What would you do as county commissioner to work closely with the school board? And are you concerned that the school board is taking too long to find a new superintendent? Bob?
Well, first of all, The Board of Commissioners and the Board of Education, although we have different roles in supporting public education, we need to be on the same team. We need to keep that vision in our focus, and everything that we do needs to be to help accomplish that vision. With respect to the superintendent, that's probably one of the most important jobs that the school board has in front of it, and it needs to take its time to get the right person. I don't think it's too long. But what I would do, I think that the bus tour going around the facilities is a great example of things that we can do together as the two boards. We need to develop a good relationship, develop trust among one another, make sure that we understand each other, that the commissioners understand the needs of the school system as articulated by the board. The commissioners need to hold the school board accountable for the money that is given by the county to the school board, and making sure that it's being used wisely to, again, carry out that strategic plan and to accomplish the vision.
Why do you think it's taking so long to find a superintendent?
Well, I can only guess. I've heard that the climate isn't necessarily ripe for good candidates to apply for that job, given the controversies that we've had. But I know, working in a senior executive position, that sometimes it just takes some time to attract the right leader for our community and
okay.
our school system.
Okay. The relationship the county commissioners and the school board have, why is it taking so long to find a superintendent?
Well, John answered the first part of that question. When I was on the commissioners prior to back in 2006, we had about 450 folks down at the courthouse to object to the amount of money that the county commissioners were giving the school. And right after that meeting, I went to the chairman, who was Larry Sharp at that time, and I said, look, we spend more money for education, and rightfully so. Why don't we have liaison, the county commissioner, with the school board? He said, are you volunteering? I said, well, yes, I am. And so that way, with a liaison that attends the school board meetings, they can understand the fiscal needs of the schools, and the school board can also, they can share the fiscal limitations of the county commissioners. I think we've gotten away from that. We need to get back to that, John, and that's what I intend to do as a county commissioner. Now, in terms of our superintendent, I think you need to go to the school board and ask them that. I can't answer that. Bill?
I would have to say that I don't think the problems between the school board and the county commissioners is that great. We seem to get along fine. We have different roles to be and to meet, and the county commissioners have more to put into funding than just the schools. If it was just the schools, it wouldn't be a problem. But we have the office buildings in the county, the school buildings, we have the car systems, and the Alabama Community College. We fund all those things, plus much, much more. There's more to county government than schools.
Harold, is the school board functioning the way you'd like to see it?
Tell you the truth, no, because they quit offering me courses when I wanted to take computer classes. So the state or the county one took it away from me, so I would say that they should cooperate a lot better.
Eddie, when you were a commissioner, what was your relationship like with the school board?
Well, I followed in Dan's footsteps when he ran off and left me and went to Raleigh. And I went over as the liaison between the school board and commissioners. We did have a breakdown, and it was about money, and that's the problem. They're for education. Commissioners are for education, but we're also, we got a taxpayer on this side of us breathing down our neck saying, you keep our taxes in line, and they're wanting more money, so you have to find that balance and find the points that you can agree on and make it all work for the betterment of the county.
Okay, we'll leave that subject because tomorrow night it'll be pretty lively, I'm sure, with our candidates for school board. Let's go to some questions from our audience here at the theater and online as well, and from WPCM. And we have a question specifically for you, Bob. And Bob probably is the only one that can answer this. How does your hospital experience translate to county government?
Well, I think it translates very well. I've been in a leadership position at Alamance Regional for my entire career here, and so that's what we're talking about is leadership. I've done a lot of business development with the hospital, and I think that's very important for our county in terms of economic development. I've done a lot of community health initiatives, so I know our community very well. And because of my position at the hospital, I've been able to serve, been asked to serve on many community organizational boards like the United Way and the Arts Council, as you mentioned earlier. But it doesn't stop there. It really goes on, and that's given me great insight to our community that I think will be very valuable on the Board of Commissioners. And I might add that there's this issue between governance and management, and having served on a lot of different governing bodies of various community organizations, and having served under one of the very best governing bodies that I could imagine at Alamance Regional, I think that would also help me be prepared to help to govern our county.
Eddie, you're a business leader here in Alamance County. Is that important to being a county commissioner as well?
I think it's very important because you're in the business community. You have to make payroll. You have to pay people. You have to watch budgets. Being a small business is actually a little bit different than running a hospital, of course, with the millions they deal with. We don't deal in that many millions. I wish we did, but we don't. Anyhow, I think those things I can bring to the table, and also the fact that I've served in our community on a lot of the boards, which Bob also served on, the United Way and Habitat boards and stuff. And I think that's how you connect to your community and find out what people really need.
Harold, you worked a long time with an elastic company in Greensboro. Talk about your experience in that field and what you bring to the table as far as becoming an Alamance County Commissioner is concerned.
I stayed at Elastic Fabrics for 24 years and about 9 months. I was in the technical field of making new fabrics and stuff for the company. The years that I was in that field, our company thrived and worked 6 and 7 days a week. Some reason or another, I walked in one morning and they told me to get out. I said, that's okay. I mean, you know, ain't nothing I can do about it. But if I get the shot, I'll try to make sure that if there's anything I can do as a commissioner to protect our people, I will.
Bill, you're retired, but you work with a lot of business leaders in Alamance County. How important is that relationship being a county commissioner?
Well, I think the more you have to deal in business and dealing with each other in companies is important to be a commissioner. You have to have an open mind and be willing to listen to what's going on and make the decisions along business things as good for the county.
Dan, you're retired also. How important is it for you, if you're elected again to the county commissioners, to work with business leaders?
It's extremely important, and especially during this time, when you look, there's a keen interest from the business community on education. This could be very helpful to governmental entities, and a classic example, folks, is what we saw with the city of Mebane, who just built a new fire department. Oh, by the way, they also got a $975,000 fire truck for free. It was paid for by Piedmont Electric, who obtained a no-interest loan from the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Now, that is government and business working together to solve problems and to save the taxpayers' money. We can do the same thing with the county.
Okay, let's move on to another question from our audience here in the theater tonight, and it's pretty simple, and I don't know how much we can discuss this, but it's pretty yes or no. If you are elected, will you vote to raise taxes in Alamance County? Eddie?
I'm not ready to do that today. Let's put it that way.
No?
Will I raise taxes?
Will you vote to raise property taxes?
No.
Bill?
No, one of my campaign slogans is no more taxes. Well, Alamance County's economy is in such good that we're bringing in money from sales tax, and this is the foundation the county commissioners has been laying for the last 10 years. And Stan Engel was part of, and Eddie Fossil been part of. We are laying the foundation where in the future we're going to have plenty of money for the schools and plenty of money to run the county.
Bill, will there ever be a situation where you would vote to raise taxes?
Absolutely not.
Chief?
It's tough to say that you'll never raise taxes, John. And we don't know what the circumstances that we face. For example, Ebola's been found in Texas, folks. What do we have in the epidemic here? Who's going to pay the health department when they're serving folks?
That's the state's responsibility.
It's going to be tough. It could be on a local level, too, Bill.
That's no.
And so it could really get tough. We don't know. What if, there's all kinds of catastrophes that could occur. But you've got, the bottom line is this. You have 35 different departments and agencies that are responsible for either partial funding or full funding from Alamance County, not just the state, not just the federal government, but also our county conference. They present their budgets. We determine what their needs are, what we're not going to approve, what we will approve. We look at the fund balance, and then we determine what we can spend. And that bottom figure is going to determine whether we need to raise taxes that year or not. Now, I will absolutely say no unless absolutely necessary.
Along those lines, and I'm going to get to a health care question in just a second, but question, if elected, will you raise taxes in Alamance County?
I think it's irresponsible to say that I would never raise taxes, or for anybody to say that. We need to base our tax rates. Our tax rates need to be based on what our needs are. And our needs are determined according to what our strategic plan says that our priorities are for this community. And before we raise any taxes, and they should only be raised if absolutely necessary, after all other funding sources, including expense cuts, have been exhausted. Mm-hmm. But we don't know what's ahead of us, and that's why we need strategic planning. You know, at Alamance Regional Medical Center, that was another thing that I did was strategic planning and budgeting. We manage the budget twice as large as the counties at Alamance Regional. Those are skills that I would bring to the table as well. And planning is so important in helping to determine what we should be spending our money on. And sometimes the needs may be so great that we might need to raise our taxes. But our tax rates need to be appropriate and reasonable. They need to be comparable with comparable counties around us. But right now we're sitting at one of the lowest tax rates in the state. And we are far below the tax rate of any county around us that touches Alamance County. And I'm not suggesting for a minute that we have to have our tax rates be the same as those other counties. Mm-hmm. But I am suggesting we just need to make sure that we're funding our needs, and not just the needs of today, but needs of the future. So when we spend county money, we need to think in terms of investing for the future. So, for example, investing for the future is investing in education. Investing in ways, it may cost us a little bit more today, but it'll save a lot of expenses in the future. So if we can keep our tax rates reasonable by expanding the tax base, we will keep our tax rates reasonable and appropriate. And that's what I think we need to do.
Chief Engel brought up an interesting subject there. And you know, a month ago, we wouldn't be talking about this. But I think every local community in this country needs to talk about it, and that's the Ebola scare. Now, Bob, you were at Alamance Regional Medical Center for a long time.
Yes, sir.
Is this something that we should be concerned about here in Alamance County?
Well, absolutely, and I would expect that right now there's a team of people at Alamance Regional that are putting in place plans just in case that would happen. That's what happened when we had the avian flu scare a couple of years ago, and there's a lot of planning that was done community-wide, working with our emergency management services in the county. So I would hope that there's planning for that going on right now.
Bill? Should we get ready?
We should be getting ready, and our health department, Alamance County's health department, is doing just that as we speak.
Harold, what do we need to do? Do we need to get ready?
Yeah, we need to get ready, but I don't think we should be scared. And until something happens, let it go. I mean, I don't worry about something that might happen or never will happen. We'll just have to wait and see. Epidemic can happen anytime, and if it does, we'll have to throw all the resources that we can get to it.
Dan, are you concerned about this?
Well, certainly, anytime you see the potential for an epidemic, it concerns you, and you know what we've seen in Africa and how it has decimated the continent in certain places of the continent. And once it comes here, of course, we have better help, but there's just so many unknowns right now. As Bob stated, there's teams that are working on that, preparing. But I think we need to think about these things when we see them, in this nation, and the potential that could be brought about by that. And then, there's also the talk of what if, when you see domestic terrorism and terrorism from abroad, you never know what you love to face. I mean, even, they could use these diseases just to bring havoc and death and destruction to our country.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about something else that's been in the news locally here in Alamance County. We're awaiting a decision, as we all know, by a federal judge in Winston-Salem on the lawsuit against Sheriff Johnson. That is expected to come down probably in about 3 or 4 weeks. With that, appropriations have been agreed to by the county commissioners on more than one occasion to support the defense fund for the sheriff. Do you support the defense fund for the sheriff? And do you, if not, do you think there's too much that's been appropriated to defend the sheriff in this lawsuit? Eddie?
I do support our sheriff. I have, when I was on the Board of Commissioners, I remember we voted then to appropriate money to defend his case that had been brought against him, and I continue to support him because, let's go back to the last question about the Ebola, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If we got people coming in our country that we don't know are here and all this, why would we not want to support a sheriff that finds out who is in our county, and why wouldn't we want to support him in doing his job to uphold the law of the country?
Okay. Harold, do you think there's too much money being appropriated to defend the sheriff?
Yes, I mean, I think it's a whole lot of waste myself. I think the case sort of went back to the judge and the jury 4 years ago and found him either guilty or not guilty and do away with it.
Bill?
The problem with, as a county and the sheriff, if the sheriff agrees that he's going to take a plea, it makes the county of Alamance liable for any laws that they claim he has broken. I personally don't believe he's broken any laws. If anybody's broken the laws, it's the people who have came here illegal, and they want to be judged different from the way we're judged. We have to obey the laws. If we go driving without a license, we get a ticket. And if they're here driving without a license, they need to be given a ticket also.
Okay, Chief Engel, you spent a long time in law enforcement. What's your take on this? Are we spending too much money to defend the sheriff?
No, John. I have personally had the opportunity to work with many members of the Alamance County Sheriff's Department administration, the sheriff himself, and the men and women that work at the department. They are a very dedicated group. We are fortunate to have them, and I have never, ever, as I sit before you, seen targeting or profiling of minorities from the Alamance County Sheriff's Office.
Bob, do you think we're appropriating too much to defend the sheriff?
Well, I am concerned about how much we are spending to defend the sheriff. I mean, we need to defend the sheriff and let the that's just part of the legal process. I wonder if we wouldn't have been wiser to spend a little bit more time trying to settle the case with the Department of Justice, but other people know more about that than I do. There is a perception, though. I'm worried about how outside businesses who might be locating or thinking about locating to Alamance County are really perceiving this community as a place for them to locate as a result of this controversy. There's at least a perception of some behaviors among some of our county employees of exhibiting prejudicial or discriminatory or at least disrespectful behaviors towards some of our immigrants in this community. And I'm not talking legal or illegal, just the fact that they're immigrants. So with that perception, that does concern me and how that it plays out to businesses trying to come. But with respect to your question about how much money we should be spending, it's a lot of money, and I hope that it's going to pay off. At Alamance Regional, you know, we dealt a lot with federal agencies, and when we did, like for example, when we merged with Cone Health, we were dealing with the Federal Trade Commission. And when we deal with state and federal agencies, we generally hire legal counsel that are expert in those, working with those particular agencies. And with all due respect to the local counsel that we've had, it might have been a wiser path to take to really employ experts that may have been more effective in drawing this to a conclusion in a more cost-effective way.
Okay, but along those lines, and everybody knows, you know, how this whole came about. It was a series of traffic stops. Do you feel that there is a targeting of Hispanics in our community by law enforcement in any degree at all? Bob?
Well, I don't really know the facts to be able to render an opinion one way or another. Both sides of this issue have committed positions to that, mm-hmm. and I really haven't analyzed all the details of both of those sides. Really, this is a matter I just think we need to let the courts decide and move on.
Do you agree, Dan?
I agree.
Just let the courts decide this?
No, I say that I have not seen targeting of minorities, mm-hmm. as I stated earlier. And, you know, looking at the totality of the evidence, it's limited what I read in the Times News, but, you know, just a statement made by a law enforcement officer to another law enforcement officer, or watching or playing a video game certainly could be considered wrong, and something that I'm sure if the sheriff knew about it, he would deal with it. But that is not targeting, and I haven't seen a case from what I've seen in the Times News at all. And I still say, firstly, in working with the different agencies, I haven't seen it out here in Alamance County with any agency.
Bill.
I'd have to say I haven't seen any of it. I don't believe the sheriff or his people has been targeting Hispanics of any, either they're legal or illegal. It doesn't make any difference. They still should abide by the same laws that we have to.
Okay, Harold.
Give me the question again.
Do you believe that there has ever been a situation where area law enforcement has targeted local Hispanics?
No, I don't. I've dealt with the law several times, and I've never had any problems with them. They've always been decent and hardworking, and it just doesn't make any sense to me, because if a white guy was robbing a store or something, and they were stopping black guys down the road because of that hold up. Now, that would be stupid to me. But I don't believe anybody's ever targeted any one group.
Eddie, your thoughts?
I don't think they were targeting. Actually, I think a lot of the situations that came up in this hearing and a lot of what the sheriff had to provide to the attorneys that went to court for him, a lot of those situations where local police or highway patrolmen were actually doing the stops. He was just there in his capacity to take them to jail if they needed to go to jail. So I don't see how that could be his targeting of people breaking the law or illegals.
Okay. That decision will be coming up here in the coming weeks. Lightning round, yes or no? Do you support the countywide public transit system? Yes or no?
Yes.
Dan?
Countywide.
The countywide transit system.
Not countywide, no.
No.
No? Harold?
Yes.
You do? Eddie?
No.
You do not. Okay. Question from our audience this evening is directed toward Eddie Boswell. And this is a political question, sir. How many years were you a Democrat before switching to the Republican Party? And if elected, will you switch back to the Democratic Party?
How many years was I before switching? Okay.
Yes, sir.
Well,
that's
since
the question.
I registered at 19, I think, maybe till 58. So, no, I will not switch back. I promise you, I am so disappointed in our federal government and what our Democratic leadership has done to our country. I can't stand it.
Okay. All right, let's move on to another question from our audience here this evening in the Paramount Theater. And Mr. Lashley, this is directed toward you, and we'll get everyone else to discuss this as well. We were talking a moment ago about aliens, whether illegal or legal aliens here in Alamance County. The question is, what civil rights do you believe that undocumented aliens in Alamance County are entitled to?
I don't believe in undocumented aliens should be entitled to anything because they're here illegal. If they want to come in through the right channels and go through the proper steps to be a citizen, I'll welcome them with open arms, but not illegals.
All right, Chief Engel.
They would be entitled to the rights and terms of criminal law, crimes against persons. In other words, it wouldn't be a situation where they could be killed or beaten. And certainly, they would have those rights, rights to person. Aside from that, that would be pretty much it. In other words, they don't belong here. They belong back in their home country.
Bob, what civil rights do you believe that undocumented aliens are entitled to here in Alamance?
Well, I think all people deserve to be treated respectfully. Immigration, in my mind, is more of a federal matter, at least immigration control. There are a lot of proposed laws that are being proposed to reform some of our immigration laws. It's not as black and white as a lot of people might think. Being undocumented, for the most part, is a civil offense, not a criminal offense. It's a criminal offense if an undocumented immigrant is here and then they are deported and then they come back again undocumented. Now that's a criminal offense. I'm just concerned that these people are human beings. We have children, young children that have grown up here that came undocumented. I don't believe that we ought to just send them back because they don't have the documentation and split up families. I mean, they're about as American as any of us. They've gone through our schools. They've got productive jobs, paying taxes. So those kinds of things need to be dealt with, and really it needs to be dealt with at a federal level. In the meanwhile, we need to enforce the laws that we have on our books that deal with illegal immigrants and enforce those to within the full extent of our local agency jurisdictions.
Okay. Eddie, again, the question, what civil rights do you believe that undocumented aliens in Alamance County are entitled to?
Well, I think they need to be treated with dignity. I have a personal situation. We had a son-in-law that came here from Vietnam. He came into the country, but once he got here, he worked towards his citizenship. And I think anybody that comes to our country, number one, they need to use English as their language, learn English as the language of our country, and they need to work towards their citizenship, and then we'll talk about where we go from there.
Okay. Fair enough. Harold, the question, what civil rights do you believe undocumented aliens here in Alamance County are entitled to?
Well, like everybody else, I think they ought to be treated with dignity and respect. But as far as getting jobs and stuff, I think they should show the same identification and stuff that I have to. I don't think there ought to be a special reason that they can get one. And if that's the way they want to do it, then that's the way I say it. You have to give the same documents to everyone, not just, you know, you can't treat the ones I was born here the same way as you do with somebody that didn't follow the law. If they're a lawbreaker, they're a lawbreaker. There's no other